Hello and welcome to the SSF podcast. We are week four of six. I'm not too sure how that has happened so quickly.
No, but it's crazy.
There we go. Yeah. So I am Jessica. Hello. I write romance. I read romance. I love romance.
Hi, I'm Emma. And yeah, I'm the same. I always say that after you, because what else can I say? It's the same thing. That's why we're here. Obsessed with the romance.
I could be honest and say I read more than I should. I write less than I want. But
but yeah, that's probably true. Not so much for me at the moment. I think I'm in the thick of it. Little bit of balance, and also like doing the read throughs for the podcast and stuff.
Yes.
Just me. I've got like six books that I've started and not continued with, which is terrible. I need to like concentrate on it.
Go.
That's what I do with like writing projects before I concentrate on one. I'm like, let me write six different books, get about 10,000 words for each. I'm not getting anywhere. Come on.
Yeah, it's getting a bit hard. I don't know where I'm going with it. Let's go.
Yeah.
I'm panty lining out. Yeah. So let's get on to it.
Yeah.
Book four. So last week we did Reborn Yesterday, which was Tessa Bailey. We had all the vampires and it was all very good. So our link this week is Hidden Worlds, Lifting the Veil. Yes, our book this time is, I've not written it down, but I do know it. It is A Marvellous Light by Freya Mas.
Lovely. Yeah. Okay, I will read the blurb.
Blurb, blurb, blurb.
Blurb, blurb, blurb. Young Baronet Robin Blythe thought he was taking up a minor governmental post. However, he's actually been appointed parliamentary liaison to a secret magical society. If it weren't for this administrative error, he'd never have discovered the incredible magic underlying his world. Cursed by mysterious attackers and plagued by visions, Robin becomes determined to drag answers from his missing predecessor. But he'll need the help of Edwin Corsi, his hostile magical society counterpart. Unwillingly thrown together, Robin and Edwin will discover a plot that threatens every magician in the British Isles.
Indeed,
it's nice and short, that blurb, but God, there's a lot of long words in it. I was like, please, please let me be able to pronounce these all correctly. It went in a line. It's like, blah, 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 blah. Parliamentary liaison. Yeah, so.
Let's get into it. Yeah. It's going to take us a while, I think. So let's go.
Let's go.
So, yeah, well, we did mention the predecessor, so that's where the book kind of kicks off, doesn't it? Bless him, with poor old Reggie.
Reginald. Yeah.
I would like to have had a bit more on Reggie, because he was lovely in his own little way.
Kind of a mysterious figure, yeah. It's like almost maybe a prequel novella or something. So
it would be quite cool, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I wonder. Yeah. I wonder if that was something that happened and then he just got cut, maybe. I don't know.
It could be. That's next in the pipeline after the next two.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we start with Reggie, and he's ended up in a bit of an unfortunate situation where he's set upon by a few people, and his time on Earth is not long.
They've caught up with him. He's in St. James's Park, but no one can see him. He's got like a magical veil around, and he's being tortured magically.
Yeah.
To try and find out where this thing is.
Did they mention that it's something.
The last contract at that stage, or they're not sure?
No. I think it's quite well done that it is hidden what it is.
They don't even know what it is.
Yeah. No. So something has happened and somebody has magically silenced him. So they have to try and figure out where it is.
A binding spell put on him, and it's like on his tongue, and it sounds
awful.
Oh, the pain. Yeah. We find out later who put that on him. I don't think we'll go into it at this stage.
Read the book.
Yeah. So he literally cannot tell them what they need to know, other than that he brings up one of the magicians. You can't see their faces, another cool thing.
They're all like a weird
yeah,
foggy map.
Washed out. He brings up like a map of London, and he like manages to point out that it's at his offices where he works. Obviously, his predecessor to Robin, who we're about to meet. It's like 2 weeks later, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Robin's like come into this job, and it's just like he doesn't know what he's supposed to be doing.
Yeah, you kind of walk it. It's like one of those dreams you have when you're a kid that you go into a room and you're like, you're naked and you've got no idea what's going on. It is kind of like that.
Is that just a dream when you're a kid? Because I do that all the time. I go into rooms.
And you're just naked.
Not naked usually. But, you know, that's for later. I'll save that for later when I'm older.
Yeah. Just don't do it if we're for a conference together, because I'm not sure I could blag that. I could have a good go. Where were we? So he's in this office and he's been given this job, and there's snippets of what's going on. He's a sir. He's Sir Robin. And you kind of, there's loads of stuff going through his head about why he's there, and he doesn't know why he's kind of got this job, what he's supposed to do.
He's got this sirship. In the Office of Special Domestic Affairs and Complaints. And that's all he knows.
But yeah, that's kind of one of the most long and drawn out and pointless job titles ever.
He doesn't know who he reports to at this stage. All he knows is he's got an assistant, Miss Morrissey, who's out there typing, clacking and ringing on the thing. And he's having a really bad day. He's feeling pretty grumpy at this point. So,
as you would. And then who is to turn up but this miserable dude who kind of slams into the office, old Edwin, who's kind of like, who the hell are you? Where the hell's Reg?
He expects Reggie to be there, and it's like, we said it's about 2 weeks later, and he's been missing. Clearly, we know why he's been missing. No one else does.
He did.
Yeah, and he like barges into the room to be like, "Where the hell have you been?" And then he just sees Robin sat there, and they're like proper prickly with each other. This is not a love at first sight scenario. Really.
No. If you wanted to say what trope it is, enemies is there.
I was thinking that about first this, though. Bit.
Yeah, it's not after that. It's Grumpy Sunshine, I think.
Yeah, I think opposites attract. Grumpy Sunshine. Grumpy-ish. Yeah, Robin starts off, you think he's pretty grumpy, but
he's not. He is.
He's not. He's like definitely a glasses half full type of person.
Yes.
So they are kind of rubbing each other up the wrong way. They won't even tell each other who they are.
No,
Leonardo da Vinci. Who are you? And Miss Morris is just like, men.
We love Miss
Morris. She's been there doing the job the whole time.
2 weeks.
Yeah.
It's pooping along.
Yeah. But Robin's only just got there, hasn't he? And it's literally his first meeting.
And this is where our link comes in, because they start doing things and Edwin's pen is moving. It's moving by itself. And it's kind of like the veil is pulling away. And he's like, what the? And so it's come about that Edwin and lots of other people are magical and Robin isn't and doesn't have a clue.
Yeah. And the liaison job is supposed to be done by somebody who isn't necessarily magic, but knows about the magical world.
Has the knowledge
supposed to like keep an eye on things that are happening that might be linked to magic that could risk it, but you know, becoming known to the larger populace. And clearly Robin's not the best person for that, since he doesn't have a clue. But he gets, you know, Edwin kind of relents a little bit when he realizes that and explains the bare bones minimum to him that he possibly could, and shows him a little bit of magic. He asked to see something else, which is why I have this
snowflakes,
and he makes the only thing I can do. He shows, and we see it. Well, we've already seen it with Reggie, but the magic system is this cradling, they call it, which is. Yes. They call it scratch cradle, don't they? Did you used to call it cat's cradle?
Cat's cradle, yeah, when you cat's do it between cradle. Your fingers.
Yeah, I wondered if that scratch cradle was what it was originally called.
This is it, because she's Australian, isn't she?
Yeah.
So she's Australian and we're British and there'll be some American people, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
So, it all kind of interlinks. Yeah. But...
And it's where you got the thread and you make the patterns and someone helps you to do the thing, and you know, but that's how they do the magic, which sounds very cool and it's very original. I've never across anything like that before.
But yeah, there are levels, aren't there? So some of them need the threads, whereas the bigger and the better ones can get rid of the thread and just
that's kind of a thing, because Edwin uses string to help him, whereas other magicians, we've already seen the ones that were torturing Reggie, they don't use
anything. Don't need to.
And that's kind of that's a big personality bugbear plot point for Edwin throughout. Is that he's not got a lot of magic in that way. So he's looked down upon. There's a lot of snobbery in that, which mirrors, you know, Robin's come from this world where his parents were terrible, horrible snobs as well. There are a lot of lovely characters in this and a lot of horrible characters in this.
I'm kind of glad that our spinny wheel of awesome didn't pick up villains, because we would never have stopped.
I think that's why I thought it when I double checked with you. I think I thought villains because I was just like, this person's horrible.
That was
not even like villains in terms of the plot. They're just villains because they're nasty people.
They're just awful people.
Kind of like last week with Reborn, yesterday with the dressmaking club.
Nasty people
that you don't need
be
around
nice
you.
People. So but yes, we digress already.
Obviously had to vent that.
I was going to get it out in names, but I'm glad we kind of have now. That's fine. Robin and Edwin have this chat amongst themselves, and I think it kind of gets to the point where they're like, okay, this is where we are. Edwin goes off, Robin is kind of left to do his work, and then we kind of leap to the next bit where Edwin is like, okay, where is Reggie, what's going on, etc, etc. So he goes to Reggie's family to sort of see if they can tell him anything, because obviously I kind of looked at it as historical as well because of the time it was in, so you've got these big rich posh families, so they kind of all know each other, so Edwin and his family, magical family, know Reggie and his magical family, and the other ones all know each other and interlink as well.
So in 1908, I think, is the time. So there's obviously levels of aristocracy and stuff, and those class systems that, you know, if you read historical romance, you'll be quite familiar with all of the usual pattern of that, and with marriages for
the magical system linked in as well.
But when he goes there as well, he's thinking about the fact that he's kind of lamenting the fact that he's held himself back from being friends with Reggie, because that's what Edwin's like. He doesn't do close relationships. He's very, very closed off. But if he had, he feels like, well, he would have had somewhere to start, and he wouldn't have had to go and see the family, who he knew weren't going to be particularly helpful and not nice to him.
He turns up and he's like, Reggie's going missing. Oh, cool. How long? 2 weeks. He does that sometimes. Nobody cares.
Goes off on jaunts and stuff. Yeah. Like you said, he sounds like quite an interesting character. But
he does.
When he's there, there's a clock that's got on the fritz, a magical clock. And Edwin gets it out. They're complaining that there's only one. I do not know the term that she says. I didn't write it down, the name for someone who can fix clocks.
I did not.
It's a long one. I didn't write it down because I wasn't going to even try and say it.
When it comes to fantasy, we can't pronounce many things, let alone actual words.
But there's only like one magical clock
fixer
in London, and he like charges through the roof for it. So they haven't done anything. They're just like wrapping it up and shoving it in the fireboard.
Hoping for the best.
But Edwin gets it out and he looks, and he's obviously like super clever because he figures it all out, and he's writing down all these instructions for how it just needs like a boost of power and stuff.
Yes.
But he can't do it, and the sister can't help putting in a little dig about that. Oh, it's a shame you can't do that, but I'll get my fiance to do it, kind of thing. So you get that bit of knowledge about Edwin as well, that he knows
everything
lots.
Pushes him down.
Yeah, he's so super clever, and he's done so much research, and he like knows everything he could know, but he doesn't have the power to do the things. So that's a bit sad for him.
It is. But he takes the piece and he takes it to somebody who can maybe have a look at it for him. And
he doesn't do it at that stage, does he? He leaves it with them.
Does he? I thought he took it at that stage.
No, I think he leaves it.
Okay,
I don't know.
We should discuss that.
That's a later
discussion, because if we do that now, we'll be here till tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Okay. So it kind of leaps about a bit. So we go to Robin. This is kind of the end of the first day, and Robin is milling along, and
he'd been to a boxing club because he wanted to punch someone in the face. He's been wanting to do that since we've met him, basically. Edwin was one of the candidates for quite a while.
Yeah, he's a little bit taut. He's a bit stressed, is that Robin, with lots of life. Well, I was going to say, his family's also kind of quite problematic.
Yeah.
So his parents aren't there anymore.
Yeah.
And there's him and his sister, and we figure out through bits and pieces how he became a sir and stuff. And it's just, there's a class system with him, but obviously not magical in that way. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so he goes and does his fighting, and he is set upon by some men who with the same kind of mask that set upon Reggie at the beginning. Mm-hmm. And they want to kind of figure out if he knows what's going on in the office, where the thing is. They want to find this thing, and they give him this magical tattoo, which is kind of to sit and figure out what's going on, find this thing, let them know.
Well, yeah, I mean, they say, yeah, it adheres to his arm as a tattoo, but it's pretty clear that it's a curse because it's pain. He goes through this crippling pain when it happens, and then he wakes up and they're gone, and he goes home. And tries to get on with his life again, which is all at sea, like you say. He's trying to be the head of the family, and he's pretty much avoiding his responsibilities with that. Yeah. He doesn't know what to do.
Well, yeah, it's kind of like the family seem wealthy, but as with most things, if you kind of dip under the surface, they really aren't.
Had these wills to give away all this money to charity because they wanted to look really good, the status of the name. And it left him and his sister with not a lot after they'd paid all the debts and things like that, which is why he works.
He got the job in the first place. Somebody got it for him, but not in a nice way.
No, he was shoved into this job because out of revenge, because his parents were the kind who just liked to talk about people and create power games and things like that. And it's just, bleh.
Yeah.
So he's being punished for that, basically.
Yeah.
And wow. Yeah. It really kicks off for him.
Yeah. But he's trying to kind of keep it together for his sister. And she's kind of the time, she's feisty and she's kind of, she wants to be out there, and she seems to have a new thing she wants to do every week.
Yeah.
But then she wants to go to university, doesn't she? She's like, I really want to do this. I want to go and get it done. And he's like, yeah, there's no money to do things. Mm-hmm. And he kind of does, he sweeps that under the carpet a little bit. He's going to look into it, but next week.
Yeah, because it's kind of like, she's, Maudie, her name is, she used it as a way to try and fight back against their parents. You know, it was a rebellion thing. And she's still in the habit of that. And he can't really... He's like, you're always saying you want to do something new. Let's just give it a little bit of time also, because I don't want to really think about it right at this moment and make a decision. You know, you also said you wanted to do the big, what do they call it? The introduction to society where they have like the debutante ball thing or whatever it is.
Yeah. Oh God, I've read so many historicals. I should know that. Coming out.
Yeah, I was wondering. Yeah, yeah. The whole thing when they come of age kind of thing. Yeah.
Yes.
That links to other fantasy romance that we read, and that really doesn't mean the same thing in those books when you say she's having a season.
She's coming into season.
No, not that kind. Oh dear.
Luckily Notting only has one. One reading the time however.
I think we're gonna do an episode about polyamorous romance. I do think we need to. There are things we need to discuss about that.
We should. So but not
he,
right now.
He, like, is... he goes and hides in his study, and he even laughs at himself for being such a cliche to go off and hide in his study about his problems being a sir. You know?
having his drink swirling it around his hand.
Yeah. but he has and he has a vision.
He
has visions, I should say. This thing comes over him, and it's not the same as the pain when he had the tattoo put on him. He gets these images, and what were they? Let's see. I had a list of them. He sees a large terrace garden, a cave, like a ceiling of clear glass, which is also a floor, I think. Is that how it is? And a man on a bed who's overcome with pleasure. And then he realizes it's Edwin. Yeah. And he's, you know, he's already said that Edwin's not handsome.
No.
But he did have these moments when they're having this conversation when he's like, he's a very intense man.
There's something about him.
Yeah. And then he sees him in this different way and he's a bit like, whoa, okay. Yeah. Yeah. So,
but if you just go back to your snowflakes when he's asking him about that and he's doing it, that is a moment. That is such a nice moment between the two of them. And if you're kind of what if that was a if that was like a Bridgerton sort of series thing, that would be the finger touch moment. You'd be like, oh,
it is. Yeah, we should probably talk about that a bit in the romance. I think definitely. Sorry. No, it's good. It's good. We're on the same page.
But when we do that, we get lost.
Yeah, I don't think I mentioned. I pointed to the snowflakes, and then we started talking about cradling, and I didn't mention the fact that that was what Edwin did to show him. Yeah. He made a snowflake, and it got bigger, and Robin was just like, wow. Although he tried to play it a little bit cooler. Then I remembered when I did the read through, I was like, as I remembered that moment, he was like, oh, big eyes.
Up in his face.
But then when he actually responded, he was like, oh, that's lovely. But then that is the British, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. In here.
The work hard.
Out here. You know what?
Yeah. Work hard for our attention, people. So yeah, where are we now? I forgot.
The next day after the vision and into work.
Yeah. So I think does the tattoo come out?
The tattoo, he shows Edwin the tattoo the following day, doesn't he?
Yeah.
So Edwin goes to the office again, and it's been ransacked.
Ah, that's the one. Well done. Yeah. So they go in and he kind of thinks that he's done it. Edwin thinks Robin's done it.
To begin with, he thinks he's just a really messy sod. It's like, what the hell are you doing in here? Yeah, and then he realises, because there's no door.
Yeah, it's just kind of...
Shut the door behind you. Oh, no, you can't do that.
It's gone.
There's no door. And they're a bit confused about that because it's like magical way. You can search for things magically. You don't have to like turf an office, but they
Yeah, because obviously they can't find it.
Yeah. And Robin's just sat there going through some of the stuff. And he's like, you know, trying to get to grips with it. They learn that Reggie had been up to North Yorkshire to investigate ghosts. And Edwin's like, that's bogus because people can't see ghosts. Cats can see ghosts. We learn later.
Yeah. And there were just crazy people who write to him about all sorts of random stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like, really?
And there's a letter from someone named Flora that all smells of roses and stuff like that. But and they have a bit of a discussion, but then it's like, just stop concentrating on that.
Yeah.
What's that's going on?
Stuff. Yeah.
And you also learn at this stage, Edwin had turned up to, he's got something in his pocket, which I can't remember what it's called. Leaf something, I think.
Oh, the I did write it. Yeah, the mint leaf thing.
Did you
thing.
Write it down?
I did somewhere, but I don't know. Oh, I don't know where. Yeah, it's basically something for memory. I'll find it at some point. I'll find the it just when I finish it.
Yeah, they can basically, if someone finds out about the magical world,
who's not
then they can give them this memory loss thing, which I also realised reading this is another link to Reborn Yesterday, because there's this thing
it's
about
wipe the memory.
Threatening to wipe the memory so he doesn't know about the world anymore. But he realises when Robin shows him that he's been attacked and he's got this curse on his arm, well, we can't do that because once again, you can't send him back to his life and he's got this curse and this pain and who knows what's going to happen to him with it.
Yeah.
So instead he takes him to see someone who he really doesn't want to go and see, who is Jack Hawthorne.
I do like him, but I don't like him.
Yeah. Well, I think there's quite a bit about him, and he's mentioned later with his sister and stuff like that.
Yes, that's
and
that's
I later. Think it's going to be linked to later books.
Yes, probably. Yes, it would make
sense. I think he might be getting a book, and I think he might have a very delicious arc, romance yes. arc. He's ripe for it, isn't he?
Yes.
Definitely, because he is a bastard.
He is, but in the really best is. Way.
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah. It's kind of one of them things. So yeah, they're like known as curse breakers, in their family is very good at it.
Yeah,
so.
They understand runes and stuff. Yes. And that's what it looks like on Robin's arm. It's writing that you can't understand. It's like runes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they go to see him. This the names were a bit what's it with me, because it's Jack/John, isn't it? So I'm writing all these names down. So oh, Robin is yeah. actually Robert, isn't he? Which is weird to me, because I have my Robert. And Robin yeah. is never a name that's come around yeah. for him. He's a Rob, a Bob, a Bobbert, a Flobbert.
My dad's Bobby. Robert as well, yeah. and he's either Rob or Bob.
Yeah.
And but really I do weird. Know about the John and the Jack. I'm sorry, no. Yeah, my granddad was James Jackson, but they called him Jack.
Oh, okay.
Just randomly. Yeah.
James Jack, all the J's. We can just yeah, interlink
that's
them.
It. And I guess it would have been the same thing with John's.
Yes.
But we should talk about names later. Sure.
Yes, sorry, later.
So we're getting into it already. We are making a mess.
fumble.
It's like Robin's yeah. office, paper everywhere.
No, we've gone to see Jack now. So yeah, we've gone yeah. to see Jack, and Edwin's taken him there because there is obviously some history with them.
Mm-hmm.
And we go in, and he's leaving. And I think, does he not want to see him at first? The butler kind of sends him away, and they kind of get
yeah,
him.
Yeah, they don't know if he's going to go up or not. Yeah, he seems yeah. interesting. Just that moment yes. of the butler, and he's like, oh, you know, I'm going to follow you for bringing them in. And he's like, yes, all right, sir, I'll go pack yeah, my bag. Totally.
Alfred.
Yeah.
A real Batman kind of thing.
I'm okay, used to so. Your shit. Don't worry. I know, yeah, you're still going to want me around.
Yeah. Would you like some warm milk, sir?
Yeah.
But yeah. So he goes in, and yeah, he kind of, yeah, not going to do that for you. Don't care who you are. Not going to do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, he's and like sworn off all magic. He doesn't want to be involved in the magical world, and he won't even look. And Edwin's like, it's yeah. taken you more time to tell me that you don't want to be involved than it would have taken you to look you at the look damn at arm. Could you just look, you know? Yeah.
And then he kind of throws Edwin under the bus. Pretty yeah. much straight away. But you know what? If you're here for a good fuck, then we'd maybe have a chat yeah. about it. But otherwise, No. And then Robin's like, ooh.
Yeah. Ooh. So they have this, yeah, this moment of like tension because, you know.
Because you would.
Yeah. There's this, obviously, it being historical.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's still something that was yeah. illegal.
Yes. It time. Is kind of, yeah, mentioned there that, okay, did yeah. I hear what I thought I heard? Because that's not yeah. a done thing. And
exactly.
Yeah.
So they're all just, yeah. I mean, he makes a slight, ha ha ha, I'm just riling him yeah. comment yeah. at the end, doesn't he? But yes. they all know. They yeah. all know that.
I think, yeah, Robin's like, does he see it in me? Is he just doing this? Is he
yeah.
doing what?
Why has he and felt it's safe yeah. to say that in this to environment? Me. Can he tell that, you know, I'm gay too? But
yeah, because Robin is, I think Edwin kind of says he's the, I don't want to say jock, but that's how my mind said it. Like he's the big academic type. He was the yeah. best boy at university and that. And you would look yeah. at him and wouldn't think this. He'd be the sort of person that Edwin hated.
Yeah, I mean, he thinks of him as a dumb brute. He yeah. actually calls him that yeah. on stage in his head. He's completely the type of person that Edwin would try and avoid at any cost because he knows how it would go. You know, mm-hmm. he would be the person who would bully. We all know that dynamic of
yes.
the popular, the untouchable ones that, you know, and but there's obviously more going on. People yeah, want stereotypes.
Is. Yes.
So
life yeah. lesson, people.
That's it. That's it. Yeah. That's what we learn from all these wonderful books as well.
We do.
And get into all the little yeah, intricacies of personality and things like that.
Yeah. But so yeah, yeah, then all this is kicking off, and then I think Robin kind of sticks his nose in to have a bit of a word, and the curse starts to tweak and change on his arm.
Yeah, he said, like, I think it happens on the way over. He has another attack when they're walking over, and it's grown. The yeah. pattern is growing, and all the sum total of the useful stuff that Hawthorne says is that's not good.
Yeah.
That's not a good sign, people. And I'm off to New York. Yeah. See you later. Yeah, and he Robin has a vision as he's leaving as well, but he hasn't told Edwin he's having a vision.
No, yeah, he doesn't tell it. He thinks it's kind of just pain from the curse, but...
Yeah, he thinks it's linked to it. To be fair, they both do initially, don't they? But there's, why? Why would he be having visions with this curse? Maybe it's to try and help him to figure out the thing, but they don't know. It's a mystery. There's so many mysteries. There's layer upon layer of mysteries in this.
I'm going through my notes thinking, I'll put that in. No, I won't put that in, but I really want to.
Exactly. Mm. I mean, we can't even scratch the surface with this one. We knew that this would be such a hard one to do. It's probably, I don't know if it's the longest book we're going to talk about this season. I think maybe the last one might be longest page-wise.
Yes, I think.
But in terms of density and complexity.
Yeah, so much going on.
Yeah, there's a lot. So, we'll just keep saying, go read the book because it's amazing.
Yeah, go read the book. And she's a lovely person. We spoke to her. She's lovely.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we've done all of that. We can't get an answer. So Edwin's kind of like, all right, I know somewhere we might get some information. Mm-hmm. And he kind of, if you could see his face, you could see his face going, he's got his big family home and there is an epic library there. So he's like, there'll be books and bits and pieces. I think we need to go and do this.
Penhallet.
They need to go to his, like, his ancestral home.
And
we meet a
bunch of us. They say, is it? Oh yeah, we do. Yeah, they go up on the train and they're having they're starting to ease into
there's more
a bit of chat, a bit of acquaintance. What's your first name? Oh, I'm Robin. I'm Edwin. Kind of thing. Okay, we've got to act like we're friends because we're about to go into this situation. So they're just about getting on, and then, like you say, they walk up to the house, and immediately the situation that they walk into
there's an angel. Robin thinks he's seen like an angel floating. It's kind of, it would be as you would imagine, you kind of walk in like an X-Men mansion all full of magicians. It's just crazy chaos, and it's actually Edwin's sister, and she's firing off magical bullets. Arrows.
That's it. It's the game called Cupid or something, isn't it? But it's a chicken game. You're meant to stay still, and then it won't hit you. Robin doesn't know this. He's not expecting it. And sweetheart, he dives in front of Edwin to save Edwin.
He does.
He's so sweet.
But he gets hit.
Edwin's like, you idiot! What'd you do that for? And it like. It makes, what is it, euphoria? It like infuses him with euphoria, and he acts like a total.
Like he's absolutely wasted. He loves everyone, just saying the most common
doing handstands and stuff. Edwin fixes him. And afterwards, he's like, Edwin's the only person there that seems to think he should be annoyed, but like agrees that it wasn't good to do. Everyone else, Migsy and Billy and
Belle and Charlie. So it was Edwin's sister Belinda Bell. And they're all, it's kind of the like chummy people.
Bright Young Things. If you've ever seen like Bright Young Things, you know, this is the kind of house party type thing that's going on.
Of the posh people. Know.
Yeah, they're very informal but posh at the same time, entitled, have no jobs of any real description. Just go around showing off and being mean to each other and stuff. It sounds like my absolute nightmare.
And they call him Win, which doesn't suit him at all. Oh, Win, don't be like that. And it's
like, but Robin has to kind of shake it off. But I think by the end of that night, when he's going down to dinner and that, it's all coming down on him a bit. He's like, what am I into? This magic. He sees this light. They've got these guide lights. And it's that. It's like this. What is this world that I'm in now? That there's a light that follows me around. And I just, I just don't want too much.
You just want to kind of splash it away.
Yeah.
Doesn't take him long though to come round. And he's like, actually, I'm kind of used to this being around me now.
Yeah, it's just that moment of overwhelm. But Edwin catches him in that moment as well and realizes, you know, he's not just this dumb brute. He's
actually
someone with thoughts and feelings who's going through quite a lot.
Yeah.
And hasn't had a very great introduction to the magical world, you know. Yeah. What comes after that?
There's the bits in the library. They kind of go into the library, and again, this probably doesn't need to be in great detail, but I did love his magical filing system with all his books and everything.
Yeah, but that's an amazing thing as well, because he's I did all this, but someone else in America came up with a system too.
Yeah,
I think he might be talking about Dewey Decimal. But Robin's like, yeah, but you were 12.
and you did all this stuff.
This amazing magical library system that he's done, which is so cool. And he's just like, he just announces what number in the book.
And the book just comes to him.
Yeah, or the ladder goes flying around the room, you know.
It was very brilliant. And he finds a naughty book that he's got in there about a cabin boy.
Yeah.
My mind sort of went, do you know that joke with Captain Pugwash that it was all of the people had really bad names and just Roger the cabin boy came into
Roger the cabin boy.
That would be a fun book to read.
Yeah, it's this upper moment that they have between them and they admit, you know, that it's okay. They have this in common. It's okay. So they're feeling a little bit more camaraderie with each other. And, you know, and there's more of these moments. Edwin's squashing them down, his moments of attraction to Robin.
Of course he is.
Because he's very closed off.
Yeah.
And, you know.
And he's this type of guy and he'd never want me and he's going to push my head down the toilet and I don't want that to happen. And it's not.
So that's what they've spent the morning doing, is locked up in the library trying to figure out something for the curse. But then in the afternoon, Belle has insisted they come and play a game on the boating lake. Shall we move into action?
Yes,
at that point.
Oh, I think yes we shall.
Yeah,
we shall leave the plot there. Go and read it.
Yeah,
it's fantastic. And there's more coming. Go read them too. All right, action. Action. No lights, no
action.
Action. I found it was kind of heavy, but not heavy.
Yeah.
I'm going to leave it at that.
There we go. Action's done.
There was a lot of it, but it wasn't massive. So it was kind of like your contemporary sort of stuff. It was everyday stuff, even though it was in like a very magical setting.
Yeah.
Apart from some of the stuff, obviously, that was kind of a bit. But
so
yeah,
it was stuff about like the boating lake.
Yes.
That's the scene that they go into. And that's so one of... quite a fairly action scene.
Yeah, but it's a very normal setting that this you could easily see something happening in, but it's got just magical bits to it. And I found that with a lot of the stuff that happened in there.
Yeah, that's the note that I put down about the action scenes. Because, there's an action scene at the boating lake. There's a very cool hedge maze.
Yes,
at the maze. And stuff that comes into it later. And obviously right at the finale end. And we know we've got this threat. There are these faceless people going around threatening people and hurting killing people. So it's there the whole time, but rather than speak about each of the different scenes and kind of give away stuff, the note I put down mainly about the action is like you were saying, it's almost like they're all these genteel type settings. You know, the very first one with Reggie is in the park and there's kids playing and like there's people having picnics
around
and they can't see what's going on. And it's the set. And then there's boating and you think, oh, perfect English summer day out on the lake, boating, you know. And then these terrible things happen, these sinister things. And it's like the contrast is very clever because I think it makes it that much more sinister.
Really thin veil that you could kind of squint and see it.
Yeah.
If Robin hadn't known, he could kind of be like, okay, it's all a little bit, it's a bit too coincidental.
I mean, Robin even thinks something like that when he's at the dinner party, like with the others, and he's like looking at them just doing the small magic for that's like their everyday one, like stirring the tea, with a teaspoon that they're not touching. They're just leaving it to stir the tea. And he's like, is this going on in all these big houses across the country? You know, are there these old magical ancestry, you know, that, and this is all going on and nobody knows?
Yeah, just, you're just walking past it.
Yeah. And I mean, the thing that happens to him when he's first attacked as well is like, it's really horrible. If they loop this thing, what's it called? The Goblin's Bridle or something like that. And they like loop this magical thing around his wrist, and that's it. He loses all his autonomy and they lead him away into an alleyway where they then attack him. And then like the guy's got no face. There's just nothing there. So it's like they're these little things. It's not like someone's brandishing a machete and chasing them round.
Yeah. It's like somebody, it could happen to anyone. You could put the arm on somebody's back and lead them into a horrible place to lock them.
It's I think it's really cleverly done, because you kind of get all of the things that you would love to see if you were reading a historical novel about a period, and you want the big houses and you want the tea parties.
Yeah,
and
the people lighting the lights, the gas lighters. Yeah.
But there's all this undercurrent of danger underneath. So,
it was very well done.
It was indeed. And I think probably, do you think that's, we should leave that there? Is there anything more you want to say?
No, because I think spoiler wise, if we kind of mention too many bits in the action, it is going to be.
It's like with that hedge maze. I absolutely loved that scene, but I don't want to go. It's like halfway through and you're really getting into the thick of it there. And
Let's not. Yeah. I don't mind some spoilery genus, but no, not there.
Okay. Leave it for
you. But yeah, names.
What do you want to do next? Names. Lovely. Names. Let's do it.
Names.
We talked about this and about the fact that we knew this would be Jess's area that she'd really like get her teeth into it. Whereas I've got kind of a couple of vague thoughts about it.
Okay. Yeah. So let's digress a little. When you write, do you go into big naming of things, or do you like that's a good fancy name, or that's a good contemporary name? Or because I've got into the logic.
Did you have to ask this question?
I kind of did.
So generally, I hate naming things with a passion. I hate naming characters, just figuring out their names. But I have discovered a new level of hatred, because one of my work in progress is a completely separate fantasy world that I want names for that make sense, but also sound different. And it's such a headache, because I've been trying to figure out meanings and stuff for them, but also make them pronounceable. And it's been headache central for me with that stuff.
You know, when you kind of get these visions of hell, and like, you know, like a Homer Simpson one, he's where he's supposed to be eating donuts forever, and that's a good place for him. So to me, that would be quite a nice idea of hell, because I could sit there and go, oh, okay, what does that mean? Who is that? How can I link that to that? Is that your idea of hell, that you just have to sit and think of names?
See, I find that, like, I know I have to do it, and I know it needs to be right, otherwise it's going to bug me, but I just feel like this is taking time when I can be writing. It's like, I feel like, oh no, I'm going to procrastinate for like a week on these things. Oh, and I hate it. I hate doing that. Yeah. reflects in why I was like, they got some names.
Think me, I would rather think of 50,000 names than sit and write a 500 word blurb.
See, I quite like blurbs. We're such a balance, aren't we?
We really are. Yin and yang. But yes, so we have discussed, if you saw season one and our manipulation of fantasy names at the time, I think our most used phrase was probably, did we say that right?
Yeah. Do you know what? We've picked books this season that have been really quite simple.
The wheel was fantastic picking this book for names, because we have some of the ones that I wrote down: Maudie, Belinda, Charlie, Billy, Flora, Reggie, Kitty, Adelaide, Trudy, Francis, Edwin, Robin. You know, these are names that are quite good and useful and British that we can just run with. I we love can that. Just
say them, which is
not that, yeah. Not that I don't love a fantasy name, but if you're Emma and you've listened to me discuss Guns N' Roses, and that book with the, that, yeah. Yeah, with the name in there, then yeah, you would know.
We both, I think we problem. Both have this thing where if it's a word that we're not very good at, like figuring out how you're meant to say it straight away, it will become something different in your head, and then it's stuck.
You can't get away the problem. From it. Yeah.
Yeah,
it will always be fire. Sorry,
but yes, yeah, so, I could not read it without it being fire. No, a different it has book. To be.
Yeah. So, but yeah, the names are very British. They are very of the time period, early 1900s. And as soon as you hear them, you just can't go anywhere else. I mean, how many, if you've got kids or you go to a school or an office, how many Edwins do you ever meet?
Yeah.
Or Mauds? Mauds probably might make a comeback at some point.
I mean, I think they're quite clever names a little bit because they're old. But they also have, like, they're quite nice names too.
Yes.
And they're not too generic either. Like, they're not all, you know, I read a fair bit of historical romance, so do you. And there's a lot of similar names that you, like, when you've read, like, 12 historical romances, you're like, well, which, you know.
Yeah.
So-and-so which is that
Sebastian is this which, time
Sebastian yeah that's oh that's a massive one isn't it Sebastian mm-hmm. You always get him so yeah that helps
yes
definitely yeah did you look into meanings at all of
I didn't do meanings I was looking at where they come would. Within rankings so Edwin was the 66th most name used name in the early 1900s so I kind of started looking into bits like that and the Robin and the Robert side of things so if I think of Robin my brain goes directly to Christopher Robin
I was thinking Batman
oh really
Well, actually, to be fair, that isn't what I thought of first. I thought of Robin Goodfellow because it's like a fantasy thing, which is Puck, isn't it? So they also call him Robin Goodfellow. In
I have no idea.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah, random. Yeah. Random connections in the brain.
My other thing went to the Iceland. No, not Icelandic. I don't know. The singer. Scandinavian-esque singer, Robin.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. She's not been around for a while, is she?
No,
yeah.
She's not.
She's
showing her age.
Yeah, so the only thing I really wrote down about names was I didn't look into meanings or anything.
You said about
looking at what was popular at the time, that's generally how I do it for contemporaries when I'm trying to pick my names for contemporaries.
As long as they're not in the top 10.
Popular baby names in the 90s, because that's when a lot of characters are supposed to have been born these days.
Oh.
When you're trying to work it out, 90s, or then you're creeping into the noughties too.
Oh, you've got to watch your pop culture as well.
Yeah, yeah.
He was listening to Nirvana. No, he wasn't.
No. Yeah, because it's no one believes that about, they're just cool, so they listen to all the old bands. No, it's just that the author's older.
Yeah,
we don't know the new stuff.
Born in the 80s.
Sorry.
Do you know who Anne-Marie is, Mum? No, I don't.
I think I've got quite, like, my taste is very poppy in music, so I stay quite on track with musical stuff. But when it comes to, like, technology and TikTok and how you communicate as a young person, like, with no full stops and things, and you're being very aggressive if you use punctuation, apparently.
Really?
Well,
I showed you what I would put on TikTok, so I'm probably not the best person to speak to.
Oh no, that was perfect.
Was it? Oh, we
we're gonna do
it then.
We're gonna do it. I'm gonna
On that note, I think we should move on to quotes, and I'm very much looking forward to
all I was
going to
say. I actually have a thing to say about names.
Oh, sorry.
But I digressed massively. No, it's completely my fault. Was just that, like you mentioned earlier, with them calling him Wynn, it's very telling that Edwin, his name, he doesn't have control over his own name.
No,
it's like he wants to be called Edwin, and there's an his big brother Walter, who we haven't particularly mentioned,
we don't want to,
completely bullied him. He is like a terror in his life.
Yes.
And he went through a stage of calling Eddie, which he Edwin hated, and he wanted to, you know, he actually went to his mother and they stopped him from calling it. But Walt waited to get his revenge on him.
Yeah, he sat on it, didn't he? Oh.
Yeah. And then, like you say, with Robin is Robert as well, to take after his dad, but he's being called Robin instead of Robert, which shows this separation between them, this change, I thought was symbolic. That's all I came up with names.
Yeah. That's all right. But we're very different. That's why it works.
Cool. That was interesting.
Yeah. There we go.
Nice. There we go.
So what should we do next? So much on names.
I know. Yeah.
Quote. Yeah, we've done mine. Let's go on to yours. Yeah.
Let's go on to my one where I get all like anoraki. Quotes it is.
Yay. Quotes wise, I did message you about the number.
Yeah.
And I have much less than you. So if I do mine, get through them quick, sharpish, and then you can go.
Jess said, shall we just do two each? And I said, yeah, that makes sense. And then
on a message you did.
I'm not going to say nine of them. I will pick. No. But
I was going to say, What did your face say when I went, let's do two?
This is what we were talking about me being an optimist, or should I say delusional, in that I was like, two's fine.
Two's fine.
No, it's not.
Can I just say, stick to teaching your kids English, not maths like me.
Yeah, definitely.
Nine is not two.
I don't do the maths. Other half does all the math stuff and the sciencey things.
But I tried to do the English and I still can't do that.
My daughter's English stuff is teaching me things about grammar and spellings. She's got to the stage where she does spellings now, and I run through the list and then I take her book to check them, and I just have to double check them.
Mine's on the wall so I can stand and
I've been published. It's worrying.
But this is it. Those teachers have gone like, what are the hardest words to spell, like millennium and stuff like that. And recommendation. I'm like, come on, even adults struggle with the extra M's and L's and C's.
That's it. I guess that's why they're doing it, so that you get to this age and you've remembered.
There's only one or two times in your life you need to write the word millennium. One is when you're discussing a Robbie Williams song, and the other is never.
Star Wars, Millennium Falcon. Yeah, that's it. Even that.
Maybe with my boy one day. With his love of Baby Yoda. Oh, I did say that I would get on and do this quickly.
Yeah, go on. Right.
So I have two and a bit. So I'll do my one that links to another one. Okay. So it was really random, and it was linked to a bit nearer to the end, I think.
Okay.
So you're not entirely the limp piece of cabbage you seem to be, Wim.
Yep.
Did you
That's
see that?
A good one. I managed to get like nine quotes, and I didn't go through the whole book looking for quotes. I've only gone halfway through, so I didn't get that one.
Yeah, did you even hit 40%?
About 40%, yeah.
So do we give a reason for why we picked them, or was that just
you can if you like?
Yeah. it was Win and Walt talking at the end.
Yeah.
He was just kind of like said that, and I'm just like, you get that's when you would have wanted to slap your sibling, innit?
Yeah, definitely. They do dig, don't they?
My kids are evil. The other one was, if you had any idea how distracting it is when you do that thing with that string.
I didn't write that one down, and I don't think that's about 40%, but I definitely reread that scene.
Yeah, that's all right, then it's not just me. They're kind of Edwin's moving his hands around, and Robin is watching him, and he's just he's getting into it.
And as someone who has a thing about
hands
anyway, that's it, you know. You can understand it totally.
Yes, definitely can. So there's a little bit a bit later in that chapter, and he's like, thank you awfully, I suppose, where he's on about offering to suck him off, and it was just so very British.
That was, he's like, because he's refused him.
He won't let Robin do it to him, but Edwin wants to do it back.
But it's like, it feels really awkward because he's just like, it's like when you've offered to do something for someone and they go, no, let me do it for you. Oh, no. And you're just like, oh, is it really rude of me to accept that? I want to.
Yeah, I really want to. But
good quotes.
All very pretty.
I like those.
Come on then.
Okay. Oh, Lay God. On me. All right. I'll go. Mine are longer as well.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, I'm going, yeah, right. So one of them was quite early, because like I said, I didn't go for it.
Age one.
Yeah. He was as flat and cold as he'd ever been. Perhaps it was the fact that Robin had been thinking of knights that now gave that coldness a feeling of armour, a metal plate beaten smooth and held out for protection. So that's Robin thinking about Edwin when they go to see Hawthorne, Jack Hawthorne. Yes. And I just thought it was a good quote in the way that it shows Robin realizing there's more to Edwin's coldness and how he's quite vulnerable underneath. But it also shows, I think, how Robin is very perceptive. It's like they do come, you know, he is seen as this kind of, I've heard him mentioned as being like a himbo kind of character, you know, like you say, like a jock, you know, kind of Thor style, big dumb golden retriever kind of thing.
Yes.
But he's not. I mean, even Edwin says
he's
later,
like a cabbage. He's layered.
He sees, yes, cabbage.
Onion, yeah. People use cabbages.
Onion, that was Shrek, wasn't it? But he sees patterns in things, and I think because he's coming from outside, he's very perceptive character, even though he's not at all academic.
Yes.
So yeah, I thought that was a good one for showing both sides of them, and like this way that they gradually get to know each other and see more in each other. Okay, what should I do with the other one? I got to decide now.
You can do one or two more. I don't mind.
I feel naughty. You told me to, and I said yes. I'm breaking the rules.
This is why we have a dog. I'm very bad at these things. Of course you can.
Okay, so Robin thought about the string that Edwin used in his spells, how a particular cradle might have 5 or 6 or 8 lines of pattern joining one hand to another, binding them close. Robin and Edward had already shared a handful of secrets, and now they shared another. And this awareness of their common nature, in a way that had nothing whatsoever to do with magic, hung delicate and unspoken between them as they left the room. And I just thought, I just hate her, really, because I think she's an amazing writer. It's one of those books that I read, and I was like, I love all the fantasy and I love all the romance, but God damn, you also write really beautifully as well on top.
It's when you put the book down and go, it's kind of envy.
I am never going to be this writer, and this is exactly the type of writer I want to be.
I want to be you.
Yeah, it's just this use of the beautiful metaphor of the cradling and how but it's great.
Do you want to do one more? Just one more. You've been 3 minutes ago.
Okay. Robin's mind was oddly blank, as it had been sometimes at the end of a particularly fiendish examination, as if he'd scooped out its worthwhile contents with his fingers and smeared them grimly onto the page. And I love that quote, because that is exactly how I feel after I've done edits. That is literally, I have no words left. They are all just
Play-Doh down the wall.
I love that one.
Yeah. I love how yours are all quite big and grown up and have depth and meaning, and mine's about cock.
Well, as well, I did have one that was kind of like that. I'm going to sneak in another one. The man was like a porcelain figurine. There was a sense that if you tried to remove his clothes, you'd find them painted on.
I saw that one.
Yeah, that was a brilliant one. Because you just get it. It's just such great imagery. She's so good at having the imagery and making it work with the feelings too. Yes. So yeah, I could have gone for ages. My quotes also end up more like paragraphs. It's like, can I just do this chapter? This one here.
Just while we're here.
Yeah.
This is why you read the blurb. It kind of fills that little hole. You read that, you're so much better.
Yeah, that's true. I like doing the blurby bit.
Yeah, it's all good.
Okay.
So we've got romance.
Romance. We're going to end number four. On romance.
Let's
lovely.
Go. So yeah, romance.
Yeah.
Yeah, so as we've just said, we've covered quite a lot of it through what we've already said about...
Well, because it's all like teased into things.
Yeah, the snippets of things dropped in throughout the story. Yeah. It's just a super well done book. It's kind of trickled through and really, really well.
I think, we were talking about historical romance, weren't we? And like the hand touch moment.
Yes.
You know? And there's like, it's so gradual because they come from this place where they're so far apart in terms of the world they live in. Yeah. And their personalities. And then they like gradually get to little tiny increments of seeing each other's vulnerabilities. And it takes a long time for them to trust each other in this, I think. And, you know, that kind of makes sense because Edwin is just this character that has no reason to trust people because people are horrible to him all the time.
From day dot, he's got like two siblings who are evil, and then the siblings' friends and other halves come along and they're all evil, and his dad wasn't great. The only kind of backing he had was his mum, and we didn't mention it, but she's kind of not well, so she's kind of not been able to be a presence for
That's
him.
It. So... And even there's like this little edge of disappointment with him, although they have a warm relationship with each other. It's not, you know, he still feels like he's failed in some ways.
He's not enough.
And then with Robin, he's completely out of his element, and his introduction to magic is, here, have this thing that's going to put you in pain lots.
It's continual and growing.
And obviously Edwin isn't the warmest of characters to introduce you to that world.
Sharp stick in it on your head.
It's a very gradual thing with lots of those beautiful sort of tiny intimacy moments, like when we talked about the Cupid thing where he comes and Edwin fixes him. We sort of moved on from that, but how he does it is he creates this, like, I don't know, it's like a red spark, isn't it, and he puts it in his mouth, and Robin's obviously relaxed because he's in this euphoric state, and is like Edwin putting his thumb on his lip putting something in his mouth, and he's like, yeah. So there's these little moments of attraction and just the desire creeping in.
But I found when it came to actual the physical side, Edwin took over more. I found
wasn't expecting him to be as dominant.
It's like, all right, okay, we're gonna do it. Yeah, we're doing it.
Well, I think that's it. You get this sense with you would expect Edwin to be very cold and standoffish.
Yeah, and he'd be like
introduced, kind of like relaxing a bit. But it's like Edwin's holding himself back so hard because he knows when he lets go, his desire is just a lot, you know, it's overwhelming, and he goes for it. So it takes a while to get, it's like it feels very slow burn. And then when you get to the burn, it's fire.
Boom.
Yeah.
But this then made sense for me when it got to there with Jack, because him and Jack just didn't seem to mesh as characters
together. I was like, how would that have happened?
Yeah, it just wouldn't. I'm trying to think of two totally opposites, but they did seem to be. You'd imagine in the bedroom, just like, no. But
definitely.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's like, I think Robin, we didn't really mention it as well, but Robin's quite into art and new things like that, and you get a lot of descriptions of like very new art and decor and stuff that was going on at the time, which Robin understands and really enjoys. And I think we talked about him seeing patterns and stuff, but there's that level to him, and he just sees the beauty in what Edwin does, and just in himself too, like his fingers and like his, you know, his angularness and stuff, and his preciseness. He talks a lot about that, you know, he loves how precise he is with things. So it's, yeah, it's all very delicately done. It's,
yes,
yeah,
yeah, even to the end where they get together, but yeah, I won't go into too much of that.
No, see, I didn't reread that bit on purpose, so I'm probably going to go back and reread.
You're going to finish it now. Yeah, we have some more podcasts to do this first, and then
yeah, that's it.
Deadlines.
Yeah, and I think that's
it.
That's it. And Robin's protectiveness a bit, I think, comes out too, him not wanting to be a snob, and you know, yeah, they bring out the best in each other. I think they do. Yeah, and Edwin's so frustrated. Yeah, when they get to that point where they're gonna, you know, cross the line, and Edwin's like, no, don't go. It's really annoying, but I love everything you do, so stay. Yeah. So it's like he hates it, but he loves it too.
Of course he does.
Yeah, it's brilliant. It's very good. Yeah.
So we are now on to the next stage. We have our spinning wheel.
Yeah.
That's no it. Finger pricking spinning allowed. Wheel time.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Are we ready?
Right. Let's go. Okay. We're going to do the spinny wheel of awesome.
It's you.
For the next book, should we talk about what that is?
Yeah. So, do you want to talk about the next book?
Okay. It's Second Star to the Left by Megan Van Dyke. And the connection that we've got between the two is the MacGuffin, mm-hmm. which is a phrase, if you're not familiar with it, in fantasy.
It's not something on the McDonald's menu.
No, it is not. It's a phrase to symbolise a thing, an object, which is being searched for. There's a quest or a mystery surrounding it, and yeah, Second Star to the Left has that as well.
Yeah, so it's kind of a thing that is necessary for the plot.
Yes, that's it. All the plot moves towards that thing. It drives it in to that way, but we call it a MacGuffin because it's, you know, it's interchangeable between stories, as is lots of things. Right, let me see. I shall share the screen. See, there we go. Let me find my spinny wheel. There we go. Can we see that? We can see it. Lovely. Yes. Have I got all my options ticked? I do. And we're going to spin.
Oh, I should be doing music. No, I'm not doing music.
it was very quiet.
Sorry. My brain's reading them thinking, I wonder what it's going to be.
Cups of steaming beverages.
Yay.
We're going to have to look right at the end and see if there's any we've not done, maybe.
Maybe, yeah, for book number 6.
Yeah. We can have a little look. And if we decide we don't want to do those, we'll spin the wheel.
We'll just delete that bit.
Yeah, we're not cheaters or anything.
Just remember to wear the same t-shirt, yeah?
Yeah, that's it. Countdown. Romance again. There we go.
It does seem to be it's a running theme.
Similar things. Maybe I should mix around my order that they're in. That, you know, it's probably not a complex algorithm, let's be fair, because this is a free spinny wheel thing.
Spinny wheel.
I should get the kids twister and I'll re-put the things on it for us and do that for next time. Right,
We have a takeaway dice. I should put it on there as well. That has all of the different takeaways on it.
I've seen your other dice, Jess. That's a brilliant idea. Definitely
butt cheek.
Yeah, really helps. Okay, I'm gonna try that next time.
Oh, I'm not clicking the right button. You can. Oh, I'm all over the shop today. There we go. That one. All right, right. Spin.
Spinny spin.
Spin.
Spin. I can see an arrow and a finger. What's going on?
I don't know.
Oh, just got spin.
I'll refresh it. See what it does. If it loses them all, then
yeah. Grey wheel. Oh, yes and no's.
Oh.
Oh my, library catalogue. I know what you're looking for.
Guns and
Roses.
Do we
even know what was on your wheel? I don't think we do know.
All right, we might have to do that one later.
Okay.
All right, yeah.
We're going to have two mystery items.
Yes. I'll write them down. I did take a picture of it at some point, so we can put them into a hat.
Yes. Okay. I think this might be a sign that we need something other than the random pick a wheel online. We're going to come up with something else. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I've got a top hat somewhere, so I can throw them all in there and we can just pick it out that way.
Yeah.
Definitely. Cool. I'll stop sharing my screen of pointless now.
Yeah.
I tried, but I failed.
There we go. I'm going to go full screen again. There we are. Lovely. So we'll just have to figure that out before we start reading the book.
I will find it shortly, and I will also go back to my library page and see if my book's in yet.
Lovely. I'll have to change the card that I put on in the video edit and do spinny wheel 50%.
Halfway there.
Loading. To a loading thing at the bottom.
We've done it. We've got to week four without any kickoff. So it had to happen at some point.
Yeah.
I hope I've not just jinxed it now, but for us, that's not bad going.
It's not. It's been good. Okay. Cool.
So next week, week five.
Mm-hmm.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah,
it's a retelling, so you should
go off if you go and look it up. It's a Peter Pan one retelling. Mm-hmm. It's very cool.
It is fantastic.
Yeah, and if you want to check out online anything that we're chatting about or we're asking questions about, or come and tell us about books you're reading or what you thought, we are on all the social medias. Sporadically.
Yes, I was going to say, if you want to come and make us talk, that'll be grand, because I kind of do forget.
It's hard to do all the social media stuff and actually do the thing and do all the other things too,
because there's so many things to do.
There is, and as we were saying before, the technology is not like my strong suit really, so
no. One day, but I might care.
Because we've talked it up so much, you must be dying to see our feeds and how interesting they are. So on Instagram, TikTok and Twitter, it is SFF Romcast.
Mm-hmm.
Very simple. And
YouTube as well.
Yeah, you can go and find us on YouTube, where you can comment on stuff and see us if you're listening to this on the podcast. And if you're watching it on YouTube, but you just want to listen because you want to do the housework or something like that, it's always good.
Put your earphones in. School run. Probably for the best.
Yeah, you can find us on Anchor, which has got Google and Apple and Spotify.
Spotify.
And all that stuff.
All the things.
Lovely.
And join us next week.
Yeah, join us. Mm. Bye.
Be good.